Hello, it's Katie Kiley, Afternoon Drive DJ at 97.1 The River, Atlanta's classic hits. And I'm here with my good friend Melissa Ruggieri, the music critic for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. She also does the music scene blog at AJC.com. And we are two girls talking. This is episode 15.
And the first of the new year for us.
Yeah, absolutely, which we thought would be a great idea to go back and look at the concerts from 2018 that we loved and that are upcoming in 2019.
Because there are a lot already. I was just doing my calendar the other night. I still use a day planner because I'm old.
Well, and you're a journalist.
I can't
that's
keep everything
cool.
on my phone.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. I can't. There's just too much stuff to keep up
with. Well, then somehow lose your phone,
see,
and it's like, that's scary.
I'm really paranoid about that. I don't even like doing interviews on my phone, like to record them on that. I still have my little digital recorder because if anything happens to the file, what am I going to do?
That's it.
But anyway, I was going through and writing in all the concerts for the year, and I mean, it's only January, and there's already stuff booked through October, I think it is.
Yeah, I'm looking at our list right now. September, Mark Knopfler.
It's crazy.
Here at Chastain Park in Atlanta.
And then you get to, well, Carrie Underwood, I think, is the latest thing for us here in Atlanta in October, and there are so many in between. But we'll talk about what we're looking forward to in a few minutes. But first, let's look back.
Let's look back at the year. And I had to laugh because I said to Melissa, "Are we doing our favorites?" And she was doing them as a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I thought, I don't even remember all of them. And then I thought, if I don't remember them, then they're not good enough to talk.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I did at the end of the year. I always do a post for the blog every year, like the last week of the year, of my top 10 concerts of the year. And it used to be easy on our website. You could actually search for things under their subject matter. So I used to have a concert review subject matter that you could just do a drop down. Well, we changed our system and that doesn't exist anymore. So I was like, Lord, how am I going to remember all these concerts that I went to? And I kind of felt the same way. I was like, you know what? If it's not jumping out at me, then obviously it wasn't that memorable.
As memorable. So. And then we're thinking, but we're getting older too. That could be part of it. Do you know what's interesting is that I didn't realize until I was hearing from friends and family members that are listening to our podcast how really lucky we are that there's this element of what we do for a living that we probably take for granted a bit, that we get to see so many concerts as part of our jobs, right? But what also comes along with that is we get to meet these people and interview them and talk to them and share that with you. So I think since we have a little bit of a different perspective, we see so many shows. That's why we thought we'd want to share with you, because some of these people are going back out and they may be coming near you.
Right.
And they're shows that we think are worth spending money on. Now
exactly.
I spend money. You don't spend money on
concerts. I do. And actually this coming year, which we'll talk about, there are already a couple that I've spent money on.
Oh, you have? Okay, good. Because I never in a million years dreamed that I'd spend money on something that I work for as a living, but
there are a few artists that, and especially if it's, you know, like Billy Joel we'll talk about, if it's something special like at Madison Square Garden, well, I'm not going to ask for a press ticket for something like that because I know I can't really get one and I shouldn't get one. There's no
reason
to.
But that's who you love and enjoy.
But that's who I love and adore.
And
I'm willing to spend a couple hundred bucks, you know, every year to go see him. I think I've told you this before. It's my personal vow that I will go see him perform at least once a year, wherever he may be, usually in the Northeast somewhere, for as long as he keeps touring, because it's, you know, he's turning 70 in May.
So. And that's, see, I share him with you.
Yeah.
I love Billy Joel. I think like the first half of his career was my childhood. I feel like I discovered him in the early 70s when Piano Man, that's the first that I heard him. But that album to me just takes me back. Every single song on that album is so amazing. And what's great about seeing Billy Joel now live is that he goes deep.
Oh,
it's not like he's playing the hit songs from the last 10 years or whatever. He goes so deep.
And
it's, but that's such a gift to his fans.
It really is. And that's why I've probably seen him close to 60 times in my life.
Isn't that crazy? But
I mean, many shows are similar. There's always factions of the set list that are going to be the same because there are songs that you can't leave off. But I love when he throws in, you know, some deep cut from, you know, Turnstiles or whatever that you weren't expecting to hear. And then he lets the audience vote on two songs. And usually they always pick the one I don't want to hear because that's usually the more popular
song. Usually they pick the songs I want.
See,
I noticed.
It's always usually the more popular one. And I kind of want to hear the one that's not as popular because I've heard those other ones so many times. But
yeah,
and I
but
know
in Atlanta, when he came to Atlanta a couple of years ago, and then when I just saw him in New York, he played the deeper cut, which I was stunned.
And that
doesn't always happen. I thought it was really cool that that's what the audience was cheering for.
Yes, and sometimes I'll look at those set lists online and see what songs he played, and I'm really jealous because another city
it's
may have gotten...
It's cute because they post those all
the
time.
They do.
It's
but
really
so Billy's actually one of yours, though, from 2018 because you finally got to see him at the Garden.
I did, and I thought it was so worth it, especially after we had just paid for Springsteen on Broadway tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I had looked like 3 weeks before at the Springsteen on Broadway, and a friend really wanted to go. It was her bucket list to see him like that. And so we paid $1,500 a ticket. When I think about that right now, I'm like going, are you crazy? But Billy Joel was a huge
bargain
compared to that.
Yes.
I mean, it was like maybe $300. Yeah. It might have been because I got it kind of late. And that's the thing. If you want to go see shows out of town, go online as soon as you know that you're going to travel there, see who's going to be there, and you can find tickets. And that's the thing. It's if you're going to another city and you can see them in another venue, it's pretty special.
Well, it's really special to see him at Madison Square Garden.
Because that's his home.
And that's his home. And I'm actually going to the May show, which is his 70th birthday show. The day I heard that show announced, I immediately went to see, okay, when is the credit card presale? Because I had the credit card that I think it's Citibank that's doing the presale. And the morning that those went on sale, I jumped on. And the tickets weren't the best. They were actually kind of where you sat, I think, kind of behind the stage, not quite.
Right.
And they weren't that expensive. They were like $120 each. And I thought, you know what? I'm grabbing these before the general on sale because there's not going to be anything left.
Because they'll triple up in a normal time. But
absolutely.
By the time for a birthday one, it's
exactly. Because you know they're going to be special guests there and everything. And I thought, I don't want to miss this. So I'm just going to grab them and pay for them and be done with it. And that's exactly what I did. And if you have a chance to see him at the Garden, and now you understand what I don't know what it is. It's just a vibe.
No, I went the night that Joe Perry came out on stage. Okay, I'm a huge Aerosmith fan. I wasn't even thinking about special guest, but they had one guy out and he was like, this guy is so amazing, blah blah, and I had no idea who the guy was, and I'm like, oh boy, great, we go and we get the special guest. And then like 5 minutes later he's like, Joe Perry from Aerosmith, and he came out and I was dying. I was just like, this is the greatest thing ever.
When I saw that online that night and I knew you were there, I was like, oh my god, from all people to show up when Katie was there, how awesome is that?
But then he gets backstage, he collapses backstage afterwards, and I have all these messages coming in that I had not seen until the next morning when I'm flying back home, and I was like, is Joe Perry okay?
That was my next thing. Like, did you kill Joe Perry?
Oh my God. So thank goodness he's, and we'll talk about Aerosmith in a minute. But bottom line, I guess what I'm trying to preface this whole thing by saying is, if it's somebody that's out on the road that you really want to see, go ahead, take the trip if you can afford it. It's worth it. It's fun to go. You can find tickets some way. And Melissa and I have done
that. Although I'm always a proponent of buying them from the actual place that they're being sold.
Yes, so you do want to be careful about that. That's right.
Because you're going to get ripped off lots of other places. And if anything ever happens, like the show is canceled, somebody gets sick, whatever, good luck getting your money back from some of those ticket scalpers.
There you go. That's
brokers,
a very good point to be aware of that. But also go ahead on the site where the venue is, and you will find tickets. So that was how I did Bruce in New York and Billy Joel in New York City. So
I just go down my top five?
I think so. And I'll comment, and then I can add mine later.
Okay. At number five, and I feel like Casey Kasem, there's this new band, newish band. They've been around a couple of years now called The Struts. And
you
they opened for
this.
The Foo Fighters when they played here in April at what used to be Turner Field here and is now Georgia State Stadium. The school took it over. And I love these guys so much. It's one of the few bits, I think one of two t-shirts I actually bought last year at concerts. I really don't anymore because I don't need them. But I was there with my husband and I said, you know what? I'm buying a Struts t-shirt. And I love my Struts t-shirt. They're glam rock. I mean, they're Bowie, they're Queen, their lead singer is Luke Spiller. He could have played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, he sounds like him, he looks like him, but they're not derivative. Like that they're trying to emulate them. They have their own sound. They have their own thing. And they actually have a new album that just came out that Kesha is on their first single that they're trying to work to pop radio. But it's definitely got that stomp and clap Def Leppard kind of vibe to it. You know what I mean? And they're kind of a throwback, but then they're still new. And they're just great energy. And they're really fun live.
See, take it from her. She knows her stuff. And that's really cool to hear.
They're really fun. They're really, really fun. I even dragged Robert, my husband, to go see them, you know, with the Foo Fighters. And he loved them because I knew he would because, you know, he likes the same kind of music. So if you're into that type of music, you would really dig the Struts.
That's
David
cool.
Byrne at the Fox Theater
Talking
here.
Talking Heads guy. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. What an inventive stage show it was. It was, he had about 12 musicians on stage with him throughout the whole show, and they never stopped moving. No one was sitting behind like a drum set. Like it was almost like a marching band type of drummer. And then like, you know, the guitarist would have the guitar strapped on, the keyboardist would have a keyboard strapped on, and they were always moving in sync with each other around the stage, like as he's singing, and he's moving with them. And it was just this coordinated artsy thing that, you know, sometimes you roll your eyes when you hear about like artsy things or whatever, but it was just cool.
It's David Byrne.
It was David Byrne.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he was doing his solo stuff, he was doing Talking Head stuff, and he sounded great, and he still looks like David Byrne, which is, you know, and they were all wearing like matching gray suits, and it was just so well constructed and coordinated. And I'm not sure if he's going back on the road or not, because he was out.
Well, he came here twice.
He was here twice. He was here at the Shaky Knees Festival back in May, and then he came back to the Fox later in the year.
Yeah.
But if you missed him on this tour, or if he is coming back to your city, definitely go check
and
that
Stop
out.
Making Sense is one of those concert movies. So there you go. If you aren't very familiar with him, check it out. Yes. Then you'll understand.
He's a quirky dude, but it works. I mean, that's part of who he is.
Definitely.
At number three on my list is Pink. I love Pink, and Pink puts on such an amazing show. I don't know if you've ever seen her do the aerial stuff that she does.
I've seen it on shows
and stuff. Yeah. This woman could be in Cirque du Soleil. I mean, she is like a hardcore aerial stunt person, and she's singing at the top of her lungs while she's doing it, and she's singing. I mean, she's really singing, because sometimes, you know, you can hear her sometimes get a little raspy or whatever, but she's just an amazing performer, and the energy that she brings to stuff, and she's so real. She's like one of those really authentic people that if she makes a mistake, she's gonna be like, yeah, I screwed that up, sorry. You know, and just, let's do that again, you know, kind of thing. But just to see the effort that the physical effort that goes into her shows too. And she's actually going back out on tour. She's gonna be in Atlanta back on March 12th at State Farm Arena, and the tour starts March 1st in South Florida, and she's gonna be out for a couple of months again. So if you didn't see her last year,
totally worth seeing for many reasons.
Totally worth seeing.
And you know, there was a connection here in Atlanta for her when she started out.
Yes, LaFace.
Okay, and I remember that. I remember being at a party and somebody said, they put her on, whether it was a tape player or whatever, and said, you have to hear this girl, Pink. And I'm like, oh God, her name's Pink.
And it has an exclamation point as an
eye. And then
they're
saying it's Alicia, whatever. And I was like, okay. And so sort of having that in my head and knowing the people that kind of gave her start, it's been amazing to watch what she's accomplished. But she is an incredible talent, and what a nice person.
She's just so real, and that's what I love about her. I mean, she seems like a great mom. I mean, she brings her kids on tour. Her husband, the motocross rider, comes on tour with her.
He's cute,
and they're cool. They're just and she's cool. She's just always been really cool. And yeah, L.A. Reid with LaFace Records is who signed her back here in Atlanta back in like the early '90s.
Yes,
but then she changed. You know, she was kind of doing that new jack hip hop pop thing when she signed with him, and now over the years she's obviously streamlined her sound and is I mean, she's got an amazing voice too. I mean, man, can she sing? She's such a great singer. So at number two on my list, not touring next year, but on Netflix, Taylor Swift.
Oh my God, are we going to have one in common here? I'm sitting here laughing, going, I'm expecting that her list is going to have. But Taylor Swift, okay. So my little nieces went six and eight.
Yeah, well, I love Taylor. I don't care what anybody says. You know what? I have a lot of respect for Taylor Swift for a lot of reasons, because I admire what she's done, you know, to get to the point that she has. And when you think of the fact she's such a unicorn, when was the last time you saw a solo female artist sell out a stadium tour? Madonna. That's the last person.
Yep.
I mean, it's
Beyonce.
Rare. Not by herself. Not stadiums by herself. Jay-Z. The stadium she did with Jay-Z.
Okay.
She did arena tours by herself. Yep. Absolutely, sure. But Taylor is the first female since Madonna to sell out, to do an all stadium tour and sell out every date, multiple dates. She sold, I think it was like 115 or 116,000 tickets in Atlanta over two nights. And it is on Netflix now, so the Reputation Tour. And so if you didn't get to see her, you can go watch it and you can see what I'm talking about.
I mean,
of course it's a huge spectacle, and you know, there's like inflatable snakes and there's pyro and there's dancing, and you know, but she's someone else who just works her butt off, and it shows in everything she does. And I used to get annoyed by her with her like milking the audience, kind of doing the stop and stare and bat your eyes for a few minutes thing. And she seems to have grown up a little bit out of that. She seems very confident now in her abilities. And I like her songs. I think she's fun. I think she's, you know.
What I'm impressed with is anytime I see somebody I don't know in a picture with her, she is looking at that person or is standing next to them like she's their best friend. And
because I met her. My cousin and I went back to meet her. And that's something else she does at every show that I think is so cool of her, that before the show, she has a meet and greet with fans who she went online the day before on Tumblr and on Twitter and just randomly would pick some fans to come back and meet her. During the show, her mom goes out into the audience and looks for fans who look really like either dressed up or have cool signs or, you know, put some effort into I want to meet Taylor. And they bring like another like 30 people backstage after the show. So she is there from like 4 p.m. until like 2 a.m. All of it to meet fans before and after. No one gets charged for anything. They have this room set up. It's called the Reputation Room. It looks like a Grammy Museum back there. They have like her outfits in glass cases. They have a little buffet for people, just like a green room to wait in before you get ushered back behind the curtain. She spent a good 7-8 minutes with the two of us. Just talking about our cats.
You know what
I mean? And she does. She makes you feel like you were the only person in the room. And I really, really respect her for knowing who's important to her career.
Yes.
And those are her fans. And they love her. And she genuinely loves them. And you got to respect that, too. I mean, I know there's a lot to make fun of with Taylor Swift, or a lot not to
like
about
her. No, I'm not making fun. I remember her from Star Search. I mean, I literally remember seeing her because I had a friend that was on Star Search. So I watched the
show. funny.
And I remember seeing Taylor Swift going, this little girl is like something else.
Right.
Just she was so in love with her guitar. And I just thought,
yep.
Yeah. No,
and just to see how she's evolved over the years from that little girl on Star Search with a guitar to like this pop star.
I love that she kisses and tells. I think that's hilarious.
I do too.
I'm like,
and
good
you know,
for you.
They deserve it.
They do.
I'm like,
these guys are
it.
Like, yes. I mean, John Mayer, come on,
exactly.
Really? What are you doing with a 20-year-old girl?
Exactly. Like, so, just, yeah, I agree with you. Good for her.
Yeah.
But so number one, I think, is the one that we share in common, or at least on your list as well, is U2. U2 at Infinite Energy Arena, we both saw in May. And so many people, when that show was announced, were like, ah, they're playing Infinite Energy. It's our small arena in Atlanta. It only holds about 12,000 people because...
Yeah, we have our hockey team that plays
there. We have a minor league hockey team that plays there. But the main arena, which is now State Farm Arena, which was Phillips, was being renovated over from like April until October. So it was closed. So any arena acts that came through over the summer had to play at Infinite Energy. And there were so many people I talked to that were like, ew, they're playing such a small place. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I mean, I do not need to see them in a stadium ever again because, you know, you saw those tours. And sure, they were cool. The 360 tour was awesome. And the
oh
pop
my gosh,
tour
but
with
yeah.
the stupid lemon was fun and everything. But if I could see Bono in a room that only holds 12,000 people, I'm good with that.
Yes. Isn't that something?
Everything about that show, it was just so emotionally gripping. It was visually arresting, that cool stage they had that kind of bisected the arena. And musically, they're just so intense still. I mean, everything they
do. It's amazing that it's just those guys that are making this beautiful sound. And people make fun of Bono and say that he's got this God complex. And he even jokes about it. But I just think he's such a humanitarian. Yes. I mean, I really believe I've only had one instance where I was rubbing elbows with him. And he just looked right at me and he touched my arm and I just was like, ugh, I just turned to jello. I mean, literally,
sure.
There aren't many people that I do that about, but I just love you too. I think that they are such an extraordinary band, and I really think that they care about people. They care about the world.
Exactly. That's the thing. And that's what you're saying. Like, people make fun of Bono because they think he's, you know, either egocentric or arrogant or whatever, or has the God complex. But I think it's genuine. I mean, I really do think that he feels like he can make a difference, and he has with his foundation. With his Red Foundation. I mean, he truly, genuinely has. And over the years, it didn't matter who was the president. I mean, he would go sit and talk with them, and he wants to further his causes and really believes in them. And you have to respect that. I mean,
well, especially from where they come from.
That's what I mean. You know,
when
it's
you
like,
think about Ireland and how small a place that is, but what's going on politically and with the Catholics, and it's just
it is. And like you said, I mean, it's still the same four guys. There's no backing musicians. There's no overdubs. And you know, those times during the tour when Bono lost his voice and they had to cancel dates. Yeah, well, Bono can't sing. We can't play. I mean, it's not like they went on anyway with another singer or something. Or it's not even like Bon Jovi replacing Richie for the night. You know, I mean, I get that too. The show has to go on, but you can't do that with Bono. I mean, you can't. And again, seeing all the guys, they're still locked into loving what they do. And I think that's what comes across, that genuine passion when they're performing
live.
Yes,
I saw them early 80s or was it 70s? Late 70s?
Like 80, 79, 80. Yeah.
Well, I saw them here at a place called the Civic Center, which was a pretty small place.
Yes.
But there was nothing on stage. It was like Bono with the white flag. And by the time I got to interview somebody, it was Adam Clayton backstage at the Georgia Dome. And they were one of the first shows at the Georgia Dome, which holds 70,000 people or whatever.
I think
they
were the first show actually at the Georgia Dome.
Okay, because McCartney was right in there. But I interviewed him from backstage and I was like, dude, I saw you 15 years ago in this stark stage and now you've got a freaking lemon. You know, I mean, it's just so, they had all the TV screens that were piled on top of you. It's just extraordinary to watch how they were always on the cutting edge of things, how they know when to draw back, when they need to go forward again. And then this show being so different from any other show that I've seen them do, and having that small stage in the middle of the arena to come out.
Yes.
And play.
That was my favorite part of the show. And you were actually, your seats were a little closer to that than where mine were. But
didn't you get to go down on the floor?
They gave me the wristband to go down on the floor, but I didn't just because I hate people. And I did not want to, you know, I had a great seat in the middle of the, because it was a, you know, they had that catwalk that was in the middle of the stage, and they had the small stage in the main stage. So my seats were in the right in the center, like the 50-yard line.
So you were in a perfect spot to see
everything.
I
was in a great spot, and I thought, if I go down there, I'm going to have to stand with you know, a million people on the floor, and I'm short, so I can't really see over them, and there's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, I saw enough. I mean, and plus everything was on the video screens too, and it was a small place. But you could feel the energy in that room. And, you know, like you were saying, you know, we can get jaded from all the shows that we go to, and certainly for the last 20-something years of my life of going to concerts, you get to that point sometimes where it's like, ugh, you know, you got to deal with the traffic and the parking and everything else that goes along with it. And you do get tired of it. I remembered walking out of that show that night and just feeling so rejuvenated almost about like, this is why you love music. You know, when you hear it like that and you have that power that someone like you two can bring to a stage, it stuck with me. I mean, it really did. And from May, I knew that there was going to be, it was going to be really hard to top that show for my favorite of the year. Like, I already knew in May that this has got to be my favorite
show.
Isn't
that something?
And I saw a lot of good shows the rest of the year, but that nothing.
And there's nothing quite like seeing you two do Pride in the Name of Love in the city where Martin Luther King was born.
And when Bono was even saying, you know, just down the road, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, I mean,
it's an amazing sight.
It gives you chills. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It really resonates with you. You know, he knows what he's talking about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not just a line in a song, or, you know, I mean, he wrote that song 20 something years ago, more than that, probably.
Longer than that,
30 something years ago. Yeah, right. And when he's in the city of Martin Luther King Jr., you know, I mean, to hear him, it was just so cool to hear that connection.
That's a band I really believe that everybody should see once.
Yes.
I think they are my favorite live show of anybody, and I feel like I've seen everybody. But
I can agree with
so
you on
heartfelt.
That, too.
That, yeah.
So, and so much power, just so much power from four guys. I mean, they sound great.
They're great. So. I love them.
So moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, Robert Plant. I want to give I loved were Robert Plant. Led Zeppelin was my favorite growing up, still in my top three bands. And so to see Robert Plant still out on the road with this band that's so young and brings, for him, it's got to be like a fire under his ass.
And that's,
you know,
the sensational
Shapeshifters, yes.
I can never say that.
They're so good. Mm-hmm. And his voice, he did some really deep Zeppelin cuts along with his new music. Sometimes you feel like, I don't want to hear the new stuff, or I didn't love the album. Just go and enjoy it, because they're doing what they love. They're not interested in selling tons of tickets or selling albums. They're interested in just doing what they're enjoying doing.
And he also changed some of the arrangements of some of those Zeppelin songs, too,
if I
remember.
Yes, it was insanity.
Yeah.
It was really great. But some cool news about them is, I was just reading yesterday that he's getting back together, it looks like, with the Honey Drippers,
yes.
And that included Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page.
Yes.
So how great would that be?
That would be awesome.
Hopefully 2019
will
bring some
Honey
Drippers.
We know there's not going to be a Zeppelin reunion, so, you know.
No, but that's the closest thing that you would come to that. You and I also got to see Lynyrd Skynyrd at the Buckhead Theater. Mm-hmm. They were doing a special broadcast. I thought that was extraordinary. To see them in such a small venue.
Again, like you too. It's like when you see these big bands in such intimate venues.
And that's a band too. You need to see Skynyrd's, the latest documentary. It's so good. And it goes to show you one of the reasons why they were so popular. They rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. None of that was like, hey, we're just going to add this little thing in there. And you think when you have that many people on stage, you have to do that, because otherwise they're going to be all over the place.
Right.
That band is so great live. And that's one of the reasons why their work ethic is incredible.
And, you know, that was a farewell tour for them, too. So, they came back to Atlanta later in the year, because, like you say, this was a special broadcasting for satellite radio. And I mean, just to see them in that environment, and the fans were so, because you had to win tickets to go.
Yeah.
You know,
so it wasn't packed. It was very special.
And they were diehards who were there. I mean, these are people who really love Skynyrd.
It was a great event. I loved Bob Seger. We just saw him last month, but I didn't realize, I forgot, because he got sick or had the back issues between the time that the show was announced and now. I forgot that was his farewell. Mm-hmm. And I know that Seger still got some dates coming up.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance to look them up, maybe it's close to you. I know he's going to be in San Antonio or in that area soon. See him, because Seger's another show that when you see these, it's kind of like a Springsteen.
Right.
His band has been with him so long. There are so many of them. And the songs, it's just like one after the other that you just go, you get chills with every single one.
I mean, one of my colleagues actually sent me a text the next day after he read my review and said, you know, I think I kind of forgot how much I respect Bob Seger's catalog.
Really, it's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is.
It's extraordinary.
And sounds great.
He sounded amazing. And you could tell he was just loving every minute of it. He's a person I've interviewed in person several times. He is a love. He is the kind of guy that just, he just loves people, loves what he's doing, feels blessed. And I love him. So that's a show that I think.
You should post that picture that you showed me of you guys from.
Yeah, it's a good picture, isn't it?
Really,
it's cute because he had a gap between his teeth. And then when we're looking on the screen and stuff, I'm like, where'd that gap go? He must have had something really done to his teeth.
I think so. Money.
And as a side note, too, I just want to mention, because they're going back out, I loved seeing Whitesnake.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them once this year. I know they've been out a little bit, but they are incredible.
They have a Coverdale tour.
Yes. So they're worth seeing now. If you kind of go, oh, does it seem old? Whatever. No. And the Pretenders.
Oh, I love Chrissy Hynde. That's right. We saw them open for Def Leppard and Journey at the baseball stadium over
that
the summer.
That was like, I wish we could have seen them in a small venue because.
And keep an eye on their website because they actually do go out sometimes. And do, I mean, I know she, well, it was just Chrissy Hynde opened for Stevie Nicks a couple of years ago.
Yes,
at the arena,
which was phenomenal.
Which was great too. But but to see the whole band, I mean, sometimes they do those club dates. And I mean, talk about somebody who is just a goddess. I mean.
She is. And the thing is that again, it's kind of like Robert Plant. You have these people that were so well known as being the front person mm-hmm. in the band. And when you can't have the original band together, the fact that they hire such young musicians that bring this life to them and that they keep up, you know, that's the thing. These right. these artists are still amazing and have so much going for them. That, but Chrissy Hynde's one to
yes.
to watch.
Well,
for.
And Martin
She's
Chambers
one of my
is still
favorites.
With her, her drummer yes. from Pretenders, and he's
Incredible.
Still back there behind his plexiglass drum cage.
It's very. I thought that was really well worth it. So, okay, I think that we should just leave it here and do a What About 2019 coming up next week
because we got so much to say.
Yeah, apparently so, which I like. But we would love to hear what you loved in 2018 too. We might have missed somebody because honestly, we see. So many concerts.
Right.
Who do you love that's out now? Maybe it was a farewell tour or not. You can email us
at twogirlstalking11@gmail.com. Number 2, number 11.
Twogirlstalking11@gmail.com. Or go to Two Girls Talking on Facebook, too. We've got a Facebook page set up just so you can get in touch with us.
I know. I should probably post some concert pictures up there or something.
Please
from,
do,
from
because
this
you
past
get.
Year.
You should post that Bon Jovi butt picture.
Oh, I should. That's on my phone. But
she
yeah,
gets she gets the tickets to the greatest things, right? This is the thing. Did I? No, I didn't buy my Bon Jovi tickets.
You were,
but
you
I got to
yeah.
take winners, right.
right?
So we were in a box, but right. she was sitting where, right next to this tiny stage where he comes out in the middle of the show and surprises the audience. So literally, he's got his he's got his back to her. Let's put it that
yeah.
way nicely.
His butt was in my face, and I liked it.
So Melissa takes a picture and shoots it to me across the venue.
Well, you said to me, you better take a picture of his butt before
yes,
I even got
she knew.
There. Because I could tell once I got to my seats, I saw the little platform next to me.
Because
and I was like, oh, my God, I think this is where he's going to show up sometime during the show. And often the publicist will try and put the media close to wherever something like that is going to happen.
Not me.
You were in like the farthest point possible. But, so it kind of made sense that, you know, that's where they put me. But it was just so, you know, and John is one of my, you know, lifelong
We could do a whole one about John.
And,
we
could
do
whatever.
Two about John.
We could do.
He
like,
carried
oh,
my purse for me once.
Oh, see, I need to hear that story at some point. But yes. but yeah, I do have the John Bon Jovi butt shot that I should
So
put
you
up.
Need to post some yeah. of your concert pictures because yeah. she really does have a great vantage point for most of these usually.
Not
so.
Always that good, but yeah.
You need to do it. And she'll double as the photographer sometimes
I
for
do.
Her newspaper
sometimes,
too.
Yeah, sometimes I have my own concert pictures. Sometimes we have the actual professionals.
So please do post some things. Post yeah. anything. That would make me yeah. happy.
There we go. There we go. Right. Let's do that.
On our Facebook page, Two Girls Talking on Facebook. So we will be back with you next week with what we think we've got to look forward to in 2019 for live shows.
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Have a great week.